welcome to the Mary Baloney Show. I'm your host, Mary Baloney, and you're listening to episode 23. And today's episode is, are men superior fundraisers or are women? This question has been asked so many times. I think women think men are better fundraisers, men think women are better fundraisers. So I thought I would talk about the topic today. And today is Father's Day that I'm recording this episode. And this is a really special day for me. Of course, my dad played a huge role in my, you know, my choice to be a fundraiser and to get into this industry. And so, you know, I just, obviously on Father's Day, the thing is that you're going to think about your dad, think about the dads in your life. And so, the other thing is that 16 years ago on, June the 17th, I got married to my husband on Father's Day. And so my dad, of course, got to walk me down the aisle and, you know, just there's this reminiscing. Of course, I'm kind of sentimental, just naturally. So I just love my dad, and I just want to wish a happy Father's Day to all of our dads who are listening. I know there's so many of you guys that are not only dads to, you know, your kids, but a lot of you guys have taken on that father role for a lot of families, for a lot of kids. And some of you are, you know, helping the homeless, you're helping, you know, refugees, you're helping, you know, women who just don't have any place to go. And there's, you know, adults out there that are really little kids because they just didn't have the same upbringing that maybe you had. And a lot of you guys are working with college students and high school kids and youth, and they're looking to you as those parental figures, really, as being that leader. And if they didn't have a father in their life, you might be that father figure for them. And so I just want to give a huge shout out to you guys. Thanks for the work that you're doing, because I mean, you're impacting lives in a way that no one else could. And so happy Father's Day, and huge shout out to you guys today. I thank you so much for those of you who wrote reviews last week. I had encouraged you guys to spread the message and to help share the message of fundraising freedom, not only for my book, but also for this podcast. So I want to give a shout out to Chris McClure. Hey, Chris, thank you so much for your review of Fundraising Freedom. Chris wrote, Mary Baloney did an outstanding job writing a simple 7-step process to fundraising. She takes the guesswork out of what to do and how to do it. She demystifies the fear in fundraising. I've not only read her book, but I'm in her coaching program. She's the real deal and knows her stuff. If you're tasked with raising funds of any kind, this is a must read. So thanks, Chris. That was awesome. I really appreciate it. Chris is in my coaching program, like he mentioned, and is doing amazing work helping refugees in the Ohio area. And I'm so grateful, Chris. Thank you so much for that review. Also, a shout out to Rhonda Bowling. Rhonda wrote, pretty good chance your life will include volunteer work, either at a school, a sport or activity, or for your church. Save yourself and your committee time and frustration with fundraising by getting upfront advice from a successful and expert fundraiser. Your time is worth it. Great book. I wish this author was on our committees. Awesome. Thanks, Rhonda. I wish I was on your committee too. Oh, there's so many great causes. You guys are doing such great work, and I wish I could be on all of your committees, but that's the whole deal, is there's someone, you know, like me in every community. And I just encourage you to build out your team and to find those incredible people, but also to train them up and get them prepped and ready to spread your message. So awesome. Thank you guys so much. I encourage you to continue to spread the message of Fundraising Freedom. If you have the book, I would love to have you jump on Amazon and write a review, or obviously definitely, you know, write a review of this podcast. I'd love that as well. So thank you guys so much. We're going to jump into the content today. So are men superior fundraisers or are women? So I'm not sure if you know this or not, but statistically, men only make up 25% of professional fundraisers. So 75% of all fundraisers are women. And that seems kind of strange, but at the same time, it's totally understandable why men would maybe look towards the for-profit industry and not necessarily the nonprofit industry. And women typically are seen as being a little bit more emotional. Men tend to be more logical. And that's just kind of a stereotype that I think we have of men and women. But there is some truth behind that. I mean, on average, more women are seen to be as nurturing. And then the nonprofit sector tends to be more flexible with their work schedule. So for all those moms out there and for, you know, women who are looking to do part-time work and maybe spend more time with their family, the nonprofit industry really connected for them. But the men in the industry, of course, nonprofits originally were run predominantly by men. You know, when nonprofits were started, and as a lot, if you look back at a lot of the original, the founding fathers, of course, of most organizations, it was predominantly men just because women did not work very often. And so as times have changed and that shift has happened in our society where more women are moving into the workplace and you know, men are considering staying at home and, you know, being dads and being those stay-at-home dads. It's amazing how our shift has, you know, how we've seen that shift in the nonprofit industry as well. So I say 25% are men who are leading the fundraising efforts, but 65% of all nonprofit executives are men. So even though 75% of women are serving on those entry-level positions, they're working in middle management, it really is men who are still serving in leadership. You know, they are the ones that tend to be executive directors. And of course, that is changing. You know, by the day, we're seeing more and more women move into leadership. But and this may be you, if you're a male listener right now and you're looking at your role, you're looking at your organization, your nonprofit, it's interesting how many men are starting up nonprofits, but also, you know, serving in those executive director or VP positions. But a lot of times what happens is that, as you know, the higher you move up in leadership, the more responsibility the fundraising efforts do fall on you. And men tend to take on the role of, you know, leading because I think that that's just our culture. I think that that's just the way it has been. But of course, like I mentioned, times are changing and there's a lot of women that are moving up. But looking at some numbers, it just was interesting that women do not move into those upper management positions often because when studied, 55% of them said that they just didn't want to make that kind of time commitment. 44% of them said that there was too much stress in those upper management positions. And 7% of them just plain old said that women didn't feel like they could do the job. So I just thought that was interesting. And I mean, looking at myself, wanting to move up in management, wanting to move up in leadership, I also question those same sorts of things as a woman. You know, is that I'm like, do I really want to take on that management position? You know, it's a lot of stress, it's a lot of responsibility, and I tend to like to be a part of that relationship and want to be in relationship with our donors and be more grassroots and be on, you know, be more the boots on the ground. So I mean, you just need to know yourself best. But back to the question of, are men superior fundraisers or are women? And the answer to that is no. I mean, like, women and men are equally superior when it comes to fundraising. Of course, we all have our advantages and disadvantages. And of course, there's a ton of studies. There's a lot of research on whether or not women give more to men give more to women. And, you know, of course, when you're dealing with the opposite sex, there's going to be things that fall into play. We judge people without paying much attention. You know, in Fundraising Freedom, I wrote how we respond in 7 seconds. We really judge somebody very quickly. And so when you do have a strong woman who's very logical and has those stories, they're going to get a different response to that kind of woman versus a woman who is very compassionate and very soft-spoken and doesn't, you know, is much more emotional when it comes to the storytelling and the relationship. Same goes for the male. What we find is that a lot of men who move into fundraising positions do have the ability to connect emotionally. So having that ability to find a way to hold a conversation with somebody, find out what really is the emotional trigger for why somebody would want to be a part of your cause, and they're able to tell the story and find some emotion in it. And you know, our society says that maybe men shouldn't be emotional. But this is the thing that makes men really successful when it comes to fundraising, is that you are in tune with that emotional side, that it, you know, maybe you do tear up a little bit easier, and that's okay. I mean, that doesn't make you less of a man, and a woman who's got a strong facade and is less emotional doesn't make her any less of a woman. You know, so I think it's really interesting how we do stereotype men and women, you know, based on emotion and logic. But we can be, you know, effective either way. And I do think that men and women are equally capable of being being great fundraisers. And that's why I love doing what I do, is because I think that there's just such a uniqueness to each of us. We're all very uniquely wired. And some of us are emotional and some of us aren't, you know, and that's okay. So when it comes to looking back at our history, and fundraisers being predominantly male, there was this whole good old boy club, you know, where it was originally fundraising was this all scratch your back, you scratch mine. There was this exchanging of funds to help each other's causes. And men pretty much, you know, leaned on their colleagues to support their projects. Now, that's not all that different than today. There still is that good old boys club. I think a lot of professional fundraisers would agree that that still exists, that, you know, whenever you reach out to donors, whenever you recruit volunteers, they're usually leaning on their contacts, because there is kind of that, hey, I took care of your thing, you take care of mine, we care about each other's causes, and, you know, we take care of each other. And that's just creating community. You know, once you build relationships, you know that you can trust that other person. And so when it comes to your volunteers and looking towards volunteers who can really serve in leadership, you are looking for people who have great contacts. And maybe it kind of leans back on this whole good old boys club. But times have changed, you know, and women, of course, moving in and creating, you know, 75%, taking 75% of those positions, that emotion based has changed, you know, quite a bit. But at the same time, they are leaning on, you know, what I always teach is that you lean more on those volunteers, you lean more on the relationships, so that you can build out your committee, build out your volunteer base, so that you can reach into different pockets of the community. So really important that you just have a really broad sense of who's a part of your cause, who's a part of being engaged in your organization. So, you know, emotional maturity is important for both sides, whether you're male or female. Being emotionally connected to your cause. Why are you doing the work that you're doing? What is it that you're doing to make a difference? How are you changing lives? And that's what most donors are looking for, is impact. You know, what is it that you're doing that's unique and different, and why should we support you? And it doesn't matter if you're a male or female on the other side of the table, but what you need to do is be able to tell your story extremely well and be able to articulate that with confidence. And so I do want to lean on the volunteer for a second, is that I do encourage that when you build out your volunteer team, that you think about who's the right person to come to a donor meeting. So I often encourage you not to necessarily go to those meetings alone. And if you're a one person show, if you're raising support personally, this is a challenge, because it is hard to say, well, who do I bring with me? Who should come to those meetings? How do I even get those people to volunteer their time to come with me? And so if you are, you know, that individual and you're raising support, this is where I encourage you to build out that support team, where you've got those go-to people who are already donors to your cause and can lend their voice to the situation. So I was talking with a donor recently, or with one of my coaching clients recently, and we were talking about a presentation that he was going to give. And we were discussing the audience, who they were. Of course, he's a male. And I thought to myself, you know, like, are you the best person to share this message? And that is just something that you have to understand, is as a male or as a female, who's the best person to deliver your message? If your audience is predominantly male, you know, maybe it's good that you have a male that's in front of the audience. Maybe not. But that's where your research really comes into play, is who is your audience and how can you best connect with your audience? Is your story going to resonate with them, or is a story of one of your volunteers going to be a better connection for them? So that's where the team is critical, because you do need to know what you have, you know, what ability you have to bring to the table and what somebody else does. And so this also plays into factors, not only on, you know, your sex, but also on your race. If you're working with inner city, if you're working with, you know, outreach efforts, you need to know your demographic and you need to know who's going to connect best with the people that you're talking to. If there's a, you know, a racial divide there and there's real, emotion that's based around that, then you have to know that. And you have to know, okay, maybe I'm not the best person to walk into that room. And it is hard sometimes to think that, well, I know the story best. I should be able to share that message. Well, that's not always the case. And you have to know your people best and figure out how you can best share your message. So, you know, being able to communicate effectively and to communicate with that emotional maturity is so important. And men who can really connect with their audience, you know, that sometimes that does come with age. And especially if you've spent some time, those men who have either raised daughters or have, you know, been married for you know, a handful of years or, you know, several years, and you've had to work out that communication and figure out, how do I connect with my spouse? How do I connect with my kids? And you do gain some emotional maturity as that comes, you know. And same thing for women, as you're connecting with you know, your spouse, as you know, maybe your male kids, there is something about figuring out how we are so uniquely different. And we can't just cookie cutter our message. If we start getting so, you know, that here, this is the best way that we tell our message. Yes, have that elevator speech. Yes, have, you know, what is it that you do? Why do you do what you do? That is exactly why you're doing your research. But the best thing you can do is know the person who's on the other side of the table. Knowing that person and what's going to resonate with them is going to be your best bet to connecting them to your cause. So, you know, you can't just typically say, okay, this person's a woman, so therefore they're going to get excited about anything that's covered in pink or high heels or sequins, because, I mean, not every female gets excited about that stuff. I mean, and same thing for men. Not every male golfs and watches sports and gets excited about, you know, kind of guy stuff, you know? I mean, we're all so different. And I think that that's what's so great about when we connect with people around our cause, is that the one thing that really does unite us is our ability to want to care for other people, our ability to want to make a difference and to change that certain demographic, that group of people. We want to change their lives. We want to make a difference. And so that's what's so great, is just finding the way that you can interconnect with that person in a way that, you know, they say, yeah, we want to hear more. We want to hear what you're doing. But it doesn't matter whether you're male or female. And so I just want to get that across, that it doesn't matter. But what does matter is whether or not you connect. And if you're not the best person to connect with that other person, then you have to step away. You have to figure out a way to back off and let somebody else step in and you be the support system from that point on. So I think that that's just really, really important to assess the situation and figure out where your place is. How do you fit into this role and how can you best share the message so that it's received most effectively? And this is why we share testimonies. This is why we want to share the stories of the people we serve and the stories of our donors, because it's going to resonate with different people. And typically when I do events, I want to get somebody up on stage who can share the story from a couple different perspectives, because ultimately we're wanting to connect with our audience. And sometimes they are going to connect with a female and sometimes a male, sometimes somebody who's lives in a foreign country or, you know, had that story of change and, you know, life change, whatever that was, but you're able to captivate the story in a way that's just so effective. That's what I want to see happen. So really important. You know, it's interesting as we look at fundraisers and the career choice of being a fundraiser is that, you know, we also have to take into consideration the fact that not everybody wants to do this job because it is emotionally draining. You know, for any of you guys that are doing this work, I mean, you know how heavy this is. And not everybody can do the work that we do. And that's why so many people are out there doing other work and then in exchange writing you a check because they just can't do the work that you do. And I think that that's just important for us to realize is that you are uniquely placed in the position of work that you do because you're equipped to do it. And there's a reason why you're in that role. But note that not everybody can actually take on the emotional load that you're taking on. You know, when you're dealing with people who are living in poverty or living in a situation that's not healthy, it's not okay, and your heart breaks for them, you wake up every day thinking about how do I change that? How do I make a difference? How do we impact lives? That's draining. And so, you know, you guys have to take care of yourselves, you know, and really think through how do I best compartmentalize that? You know, maybe it is that you can kind of separate things out. On Friday this last week, I hosted my my monthly coaching. You know, I do a call every month that's for the Fundraising Freedom Fellowship, and it's just a free call that I do once a month. And on Friday, I had talked about, you know, work-life balance and how we're really, you know, you do have four unique different things that you guys are, you know, you put the stresses and you put all the to-dos under. And it's, you know, typically going to fall under work, home, community, and your personal self. And so I encourage the people who are on the call to take out a sheet of paper and just, you know, break that up into four quadrants. You know, put a line from top to bottom in the middle of your page and then from left to right in the middle of the page and just write, you know, each one of these words in each of those quadrants. You know, so in the upper left, I had you write the word work, in the upper right, the word home, in the lower left, the word community, and in the lower right, the word self. And really knocking out what is it that you are doing to really be whole in each of these four areas. And, you know, being emotionally connected in your work, and especially as a nonprofit leader, we tend to overlap all four of these areas, that there really is no there's no boundaries sometimes because our work is so intense. And people are calling us in all hours of the day and night, sometimes depending on the work that you do. And so it is important to figure out a way that you can, you know, just be whole, take care of yourself, take care of your home life, and, you know, be a part of your community, and then, you know, be effective in the work that you do. For a long time, I had to just figure out how to you know, engage all these four things into what it was that I was doing. And I love that. I love that about being a nonprofit leader is that you really can incorporate all four areas into the work that you do. But it really, this is a challenge for both men and women. And we have to figure out a way to balance our lives effectively so that we can be the most efficient at what we do. But my favorite thing is when somebody does make a financial contribution to your cause, is that they are saying to you that they're in. So as soon as somebody says yes, they sign on the dotted line, they write you that check, there is a connection that you now have to that person that has just taken it from stranger to partner to, you know, investor in the work that you do. And it does change the way that you do life together. And whether you are a guy or a girl, I mean, that emotional connection, that logical connection that you have together is so important because you need them and they need you. So don't be caught off on the fact that you're doing something that's not as you know, good, that it's not as important as their financial contribution, because that is just, that's a lie. It's just not the truth. You bring something so important to the table. You're changing lives and they need you. Anybody who financially gives to your organization or to you personally needs to make that financial commitment for them to feel like they're impacting lives. And they just may not have that in their workplace. So, you know, the whole superiority question is just interesting. It's not better or worse. It's just different, right? You know what giftings you have. You know where you shine and you know when you are in your element. But I want to encourage you today to find your volunteers' element. Find out where they shine. Where are they going to bring their best? How can you put them in front of your potential donors? Give them the platform to speak on your behalf and let them advocate for you and your cause. That is when you can do your best. You can be the best version of you. You can make the ask. You can deliver on what it is that you do. But I just, finding ways to get others plugged in, giving them the platform, and just identifying where in, you know, when you're presenting to a group of people, who's the best person to be sitting across the table or to be presenting to that group, and just be the best support system that you can for all your volunteers and for people who are advocating on behalf of your cause. I think that there's something, you know, to be said, of course, of just sitting in your giftings, finding where you fit best, and then just doing that to the best of your ability. So get out there, build that team. I'm going to continue to push on that. I just believe wholeheartedly, but I also think that it's just because I want everybody to do what is, you know, what's in them, you know, like giving everybody the platform to share their message in a way that's going to resonate with potential donors to your cause. So wherever you are in the world, I'm thinking of you guys. I'm praying for you. I know that you're doing incredible work. And sometimes you may be at, you know, the peak of the valley of your cause. You might be on the top of the world right now that donations are coming in and things are just looking up. But you may be today in a place where it's kind of dark and you feel like you're in the valley, and it's just hard to even imagine that there could be light at the end of this tunnel. And I just want to encourage you today that there is light, that just when you feel like you're about to give up, you know, things just turn around. And I just, as we work the 7 steps to fundraising freedom, and you start, you know, you really dig into that focus, your vision, you're running your research, you're enlisting your team, enhancing your brand, the whole process through. But those first couple stages, you know, those first steps of focusing your vision and doing your research and enlisting your team, it's hard work. That is hard work because you are not doing this halfway. You're doing it full on. You want the best team. You want the best people, the best butts in those seats. And so I just want to encourage you today. I think that you guys are doing such incredible work. And I just am so grateful for you that you were called to do the work that you're doing because you're uniquely equipped. And I want you to believe that. I want you to say it, that you are uniquely equipped to do the job you're doing, whether you are a guy or a girl, whether you're male or female, that you are exactly where you're supposed to be. So I want you to just own who you are, own what it is that you do, and go rock this fundraising stuff. Go build your team, go make an impact, and go change the world one volunteer and $1 at a time. What could your favorite charity do if money were not an object? Most nonprofit leaders say they know what to do, they just don't know how to do it. What if you had a resource that showed you step by step how to raise the funds you need to fulfill your mission? Hi, I'm Mary Valone, author of Fundraising Freedom, and I've raised millions of dollars for charity, and I'd love to show you exactly how to do it and how to recruit the right team to back you. Fundraising Freedom, 7 steps to build and sustain your next campaign. Available now at maryvalone.com, amazon.com, and online at all major bookstores. Get your copy and give the gift of Fundraising Freedom to your favorite charity today.